On Midwest Week, the River Bandits and the Midwest League begin their new season. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Steve Batterson, sports reporter for the Quad City Times and Dispatch Argus. Now, last year, Steve, it was called the High A Baseball League, and now it's the Midwest League again. Why was there that change?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Major League Baseball has taken over operations, they didn't have the naming rights to legally use Midwest League, but they've secured that, and so the what was once the Midwest League is now the Midwest League again.
Okay, and with the elimination of some teams like Burlington and Clinton, has level competition changed much?
Yeah, the league went from low A to high A last year as well, and the difference, as you look over the rosters, you'll see fewer teenagers. You'll see kids that have maybe been in the system for a year, maybe two. It's a little bit older. They're a little more advanced. And as such, those spectacular defensive plays that were maybe occasional at the low A level, they're a little more commonplace.
So for you as a reporter, is it more fun to watch this year than last?
Well, last year's team here was 37 games over 500. So, whenever you get a chance to cover a really good team like that, that's a fun thing. This year's team has labored a little bit. It's maybe not as quite as prospect laden as a year ago. It'll be interesting to watch this team progress.
And what about the manager this year? This is his first time in the Quad Cities, at least as a manager, anyway.
Yeah, Brooks Conrad was promoted from Low A Columbia in South Carolina. He's been in the system, I think, 6 years. Former major leaguer. His claim to fame is he holds a major league record for pinch hit home grand slams. Yes, two.
That's a rare distinction, pinch hit grand slams.
Really,
okay. And didn't he tell me that he had come through the Quad Cities? He played for someone in the Midwest League 20 years ago or something.
Yeah. He came up. He came up a long time ago, it did lead him through here at one point.
Now, what about the schedule, Steve? It's a lot different than it used to be some years back. Now it's each week there are six games at one site. Is that just because of the pandemic or some other reason?
They experimented with it last year because of the pandemic. They liked what transpired, so they stuck with it. Every Monday is now a day off. That's new as of a year ago. It's something that the players liked. And what it's done is it's made a little more consistency in travel. There's a little less travel. Teams, no more commuter trips. They stay in from beginning to end and of each series, whether you're traveling to Cedar Rapids or if you're going to Appleton.
Now, it saves on the travel, but what about motels and stuff like that? I mean, is that a higher cost than it used to be?
That's probably the trade-off. There were certain mileages that led to a commuter trip or an overnight stay, the trade-off there is you're in one place longer. You maybe don't go there four or five times. You go there twice a year.
And is everybody happy with this? Is this here to stay, do you think?
Yeah, it sure seems that way. You never say never, but you certainly think that. It probably, at least for now, especially with the day off, I think that's probably going to become more of the norm.
And what about fans this year, Steve? Are they turning out at Modern Woodman Park and elsewhere?
It's been very weather dependent throughout the league. If you catch a team at home on a nice day, the crowds have been showing up when it's been chilly, as it was in April. It's been a little harder for clubs, but that's always been an issue. It's a business where you make your money between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and despite the changes in the schedule, that probably hasn't changed at all.
And so far, at least, we don't have flooding to worry about, but we'll keep praying.
Absolutely, it's It's a situation where there have been some improvements made to the home clubhouses and the visiting clubhouses at Modern Woodman Park. With those teams staying for a week, there are now training facilities in both clubhouses. There are dining quarters. The players eat most of their meals there. Those things have been implemented and built since the end of last season, and that's part of the new facility requirements of minor league baseball.
And what about River Bandits team owner Dave Heller? Is he happy this year?
Well, I think he likes his relationship with the Kansas City Royals. It's been a good relationship both here. He previously was worked with them at his Wilmington club in Delaware. It's been a good situation for him and for Kansas City. They seem to be happy here. It's regional, as are, when kids move up from here, they're going to Northwest Arkansas. So they're in a situation where they're staying within the region as well. So and then AAA is in Omaha, so they can move staff and players around with pretty good ease. So I think it works out well.
And what about Dave Heller and federal money for ARPA money? He was complaining recently that somehow or other it didn't trickle down to businesses like his.
Yeah, that's a national issue. That's something he's been a part of, been active with at the congressional level, I think that there's probably some validity. There were some businesses that were singled out for help, and others were kind of left by the wayside, and professional sports, minor league sports teams were among those, I know he's been pushing for some help there.
What about the other teams that used to be in the Midwest League, Steve? I mentioned Clinton and Burlington earlier, and there are probably some others. Do they have any kind of baseball, or it's disappeared since then?
Yeah, there are three teams that are no longer part of the Midwest League: Burlington, Clinton, and Kane County. They've all found homes in various leagues. Clinton and Burlington are part of the Prospect League, which is a college wood bat league. It'll start its season around Memorial Day, and that continues until early August. Some of the top college prospects, will come through both of those communities, and it was fairly successful last year, and certainly in Clinton, which I'm a little more familiar with than the other two. But I think that they've found a niche, they've found a home within the game. It's a little different level, but there still is baseball, and it's still an entertainment option in those communities.
And Steve, when you call it a college wood bat league, what exactly does that mean?
Those are college players. Mm-hmm. They're kids that maybe completed their freshman or sophomore years at whether it be places like the University of Iowa or places like Augustana or St. Ambrose, as well as at junior college level, and the rosters are formed with a limit of four players from any one college team on a given team. And it provides those kids with a place to play during the summer and to continue to work on their skills and abilities.
And when you say wood bat, is that just sort of a slang name for it, or they're actually required to use wooden bats?
They have to use wooden bats, which at the college level, you're not using wood bat. So it's a little different, and it's it's what becomes reality for those kids if they were to move on into professional baseball. So it's a good chance for them to kind of test their abilities with a piece of wood in their hand as opposed to aluminum.